Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Burgundy and Gold Game Day presented by Rood. Is your cooling system letting you down? Score a touchdown with Rood and experience peak performance. Dominate the season with unmatched cooling power and visit RUUD.com. If it ain't Rood, it ain't right. It's Monday Night Football. 3 hours, 20 or so minutes from right now, the ball will be kicked in the air in Cincinnati, where the Bengals and the Commanders are playing. We will be there in Paul Brown Stadium, now Paycor Stadium, which is beautiful, on the water downtown, Ohio River, right across from Great American Ballpark. We're broadcasting live right now from Lawrenceburg in Indiana, visiting our old friend Thommy. They've got a great watch bar and situation here. I want to tell you about some of the foods we've been eating in just a few minutes, but one of the guys who gave us some solid recs when we came out to Cincinnati was our friend Jay Gruden, who joins us now on the BetQL guest hotline.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for Life. Lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
Jay, this place is pretty cool, man. We're staying in Covington, Kentucky, right across the bridge from the stadium. So we walked across. Yesterday I went to Great American. We actually got a ballpark tour this morning. And then we're getting ready to go to the game tonight. But you were here calling plays in this stadium not long ago. Pretty amazing environment down on the river on game night.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. It's grown significantly. They've done a lot to it down there, and it's all for the better. It's a great area down there, great people. A lot of great places to live in Cincinnati, too. It's kind of spread out. You can pick your pick whatever type of environment you want, and they got something for everybody. It's a good family place, too.
Big picture tonight, Jay. Cincinnati, obviously pretty hungry, 0-2. Probably should have won last week. Could easily be 1-1. What are you expecting from them, and how do you think Washington will respond?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You know, they get T. Higgins back, which is huge. They did lose a couple defensive linemen, so they're going to have to do something to stop the run a little bit. I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for Cincinnati against Washington. Washington did a good job running the football against a very good front for the Giants. You saw what the Giants did to the Browns yesterday. So I expect Washington to run the ball and try to do what they did last week against the Giants, and that's eat up the clock, keep the ball, and keep Burrow off the field. I think that's going to be the key to the game.
Yeah, the 29th ranked run defense in terms of yards per game. Yards per play, I think, which is maybe a better metric, they're 18th or so for Cincinnati. But it certainly hasn't been a strength early on. So how do you expect Washington to try to exploit that on the ground?
Very similar to the way they've done it. You know, use formations, and then, you know, if they try to load the box, and they'll flip it outside to some receiver screens and get positive plays and just maintain possession of the ball. And hopefully when they do come up, maybe get some big plays in McLaurin tonight. Let's see him get a couple shots behind the defense and make some big plays. But for the most part, Jaden will be patient, run when he has to run, possess the football, and good things will happen.
Jay, as a play caller, there's that, it's, you know, it's one part science, one part artistry, feel, and, you know, there's a million things that go into calling the perfect play at the perfect time. You mentioned that occasional shot or something to McLaurin. They missed one in week number one, overthrow, which happens. It's the league. But when do you feel like there's that right sense? Go into that description, right, where you go, now's the time. I feel it, and they're not thinking about it. Now I'm going to take that shot, see if we can hit that home run. When does that feeling come?
Yeah, it really comes early. If you have some success on first down, you know, running the football, then you might want to take a shot the next first down you get. But it's just a feel for it. And I know that they scripted some plays and practiced some plays early in the week and later in the week, and they feel good about 3 or 4 shot plays that they want to get off the script. But he's got to be patient, make sure he sticks with the plan early, and then pull out some of those humdingers later in the first quarter, early in the second quarter, make some big plays.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. One of the things that has come up in town is, what is Terry McLaurin really? And it's not that anyone's trying to knock him. He's a really good football player. But Danny and I were talking about a week ago. yes, he needs to be more involved, and there's a lot of meat on the bone still that hasn't really been eaten on that front. But there was a time a few years ago where I think the consensus was he was a top 15-ish wide receiver in football. And if you go through the list now, it's more like top 25-ish. I mean, is that because of usage, lack of production because of bad quarterback play? Or like, where are you on Terry as a player? It would seem to me he's a guy that boxes dudes out, plays bigger than he is, makes contested catches. But it's not that often. He's not like Malik Nabers when I watch him. Like, it's not that kind of receiver.
Yeah, he's an explosive guy. He needs to get the ball in his hands. He can run after the catch. He can do a lot of different things. He's good tracking the ball, adjusting to the ball, making the tough catch. He can do a lot of things. He's been kind of worn down with a couple quarterbacks are not starting in the league anymore the last couple of years, and you've had different coordinators. You got a new coordinator now. He's got a rookie quarterback now, a coordinator trying to find his way with the offense and trying to make it simple for a young quarterback, and that's sometimes the more simple you get, makes it hard for a marquee receiver to move around and get the looks that he needs to get. So, yeah, I think they're trying to just bring Jaden along at a slow pace, and that's going to inhibit Terry a little bit from his usage as far as getting shallow crosses and slants and getting matched up as the number two receiver in trips or moving them around. Or maybe that's just not Cliff Kingsbury's belief. He believes in leaving a guy on one side of the field and working him that way. So a lot of variables go into getting a star receiver the touches. And unfortunately for Terry, he hasn't had the good quarterback play, and now he's got a rookie quarterback and a rookie a play caller calling plays for a rookie quarterback trying to make it easy. So it's tough for a receiver to get his looks.
But that's, to be clear then, I think that's probably, it's good to hear for a lot of people. You evaluate him as like a legitimate weapon an X. You think he's on that Pierre-type level where the passing game can go through him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think he can do a lot more than just play X. You know, Pierre liked to be on the ball all the time. He didn't like to be off the ball and motioning around and doing all that stuff. He liked to be on the ball as an X and work the go balls and the slants and the curls and all that stuff and the daggers. Terry, I think, is good enough and smart enough and has football savvy enough to do more, you know, to put him at number two and number three in trips and motion and put him in bunches outside or inside at the point, whatever it might be, in stack formations. And that's where Terry's really good because he's got good feel for the game. He's got good knowledge. He's explosive. Once he gets the ball in his hands, I think he's a very good runner after the catch. And like I said before, he has a speed to take the top off, which, you know, so I don't really know what his weakness is. If you have one, let me know what it is.
Well, what were your favorite ways, Jay Gruden with us here on Grant and Danny, what were your favorite ways where you, if you'd look up and go, my favorite target, whoever that happened to be over your years in both in Cincinnati, D.C., otherwise, where you go, he hasn't gotten going yet. What were your favorite ways to get him going?
I want to be a quick screen right away. You know, just get that over with. You know what I mean? Or, you know, yes. There's other ways you can line them up in stacks and let somebody take top off, let them run a choice route, an option route, where you can usually read zone or man and break it off in man or hook it up in zone or break it in if it's outside leverage and read leverages. Those are always easy ways to get on the ball. And being number two in trip sometimes a good spot to be, because if they press number two, you can get them on the stomp fades, we used to call it. You get them on the quick slants with number three running the shallow cross. There's a lot of good ways to get a marquee player of the ball. We had AJ, he had almost 1,400 yards last year with him. And obviously Deshaun, we took our shots with Deshaun. Jordan Reed is our main receiver there when he was healthy. And obviously wanted looks for Crowder and Pierre. So, you know, there's a lot of times you want the covers to dictate where the ball goes. But if you have pure progression type plays, and you have a marquee receiver, you want your best receiver to be progression number one. You know, sometimes he won't get it, even at progression number one, not to go work progression two or three or whatever. But you got to get him in his situations where the quarterbacks are going to look to him first. The coverage takes it away, then they'll go off of him. But try to get him some looks.
Jay Gruden with us on Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're creeping up on 3 hours from kickoff ahead of Monday Night Football. We'll take you up to 6:30 tonight and then pregame right here on the Fan, so no reason to navigate away from G&D as we get closer and closer to football. What about on the flip side with Washington on the field defensively? It is a petrifying thought to think about this secondary, which has had no answers, with Chase, who's ready to break out, presumably, Higgins, who's coming back, and Joe Burrow slinging it. How would you even begin to try to put together the plan to allow the Bengals' offense to not get going through the air?
Yeah, I think I would feature a lot of two high safeties for Mel Kiper just to piss him off. You know what I mean? And make Joe Burrow check the goddamn ball down and try to get the pass rush, try to get your hands on some balls, and then when he does check it down, let's come up and be physical and try to get the ball out. I don't know if they can play single high coverage and play a lot of man-to-man. I don't know who's going to match up with T. I don't know who's going to match up with Jamar.
Shouldn't that be a big Zach Moss game then too, Jay? Sorry to cut you off. But
yeah,
I mean, isn't that what we're seeing around the league? Like, if they play deep and make Mel Kiper mad, that's where the run game's coming from around the league right now, right?
100%. But the Bengals have not had a very good run game. You know, Zach Moss, only had like 12 carries for 30 yards last week, you know, so it's not like they're a juggernaut at running the football between the tackles. And I think Jonathan Allen and Jerron Payne and Armstrong, they got to step up, and Farrell, they have to step up and stop the run with light boxes. And I think they have the ability to do that. You got Bobby Wagner, who can also play the run pretty well. So I think they have the ability to stop the run with light box. They didn't do it last week against Singletary, but I think they can do it. They just got to move the front a little bit, stunt some defensive linemen, get these guys and disrupt the running lanes and force Bro to throw on third down and hopefully get some pressure, because I don't think Washington can cover the Bengal receivers in single high coverage man-to-man situations.
Jay, go deep into what you've seen from Joe Burrow so far this year. We know when he's right, he's one of the best in the game, but is he right?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
I mean, he played better last week, obviously. The first week is, you know, I don't know what it is with the Bengals and starting out as slow as they do. Last year they scored 0 points, I think, and they're too talented offensively to start out like that. I don't know if it's the lack of preseason work. You know, last year Burrow had the calf, and this year maybe he didn't get as many reps as you would like. Maybe it's new offensive linemen working together to get a new right tackle. I don't know what it is, but they're way too talented to have quarterback as talented as Joe Burrow to start out as slow as they are. I can't put my finger on it, but I imagine they're going to start putting the pedal to the metal starting tonight.
Yeah, think about this, Jay. These numbers, to back up what you just said, are pretty crazy. So 5 years of the Burrow era for the Bengals, they've been 0-2 four times in those 5 years. That's a really good football team most of that time, obviously. In week three is kind of traditionally when they've got it together. In those games, they're 3-0-1. Burrow jumps up to 255 passing yards with 8 touchdowns, 2 picks, a rating of about 97. It's like this has been the week almost throughout the entire Zach Taylor experience where they've started playing football, which is fairly inexplicable and strange, but there is a trend here, I guess.
Yeah, it really is, and I can't put my finger on it because they're running the same stuff, I would think, training camp and things that Joe Burrow's liked over the years. And the more time Joe Burrow puts in this offense, the more plays he's going to call that he likes, especially early in the season. So it is a head-scratcher for me. I wish I could have the expertise to tell you why they've struggled so badly in the first two games the last 4 or 5 years, but I don't. But I do know they have a good football team, and now that Higgins is back and Chase is back at full strength, and obviously Zach Moss and Chase Brown, they're another – and Gesicki, he had a good game last week. So they have the weapons for him, so we'll see if they can do with it. But they can't do a lot if they're on the bench. That's why Washington needs to maintain possession, run the ball like they did last week at the Giants.
Totally. You mentioned Higgins a couple of times. Go through like the actual schematics of what he changes by being back for Taylor.
Just another option. You know, a lot of times if you play, for instance, a coverage quarter-half, you want a half, usually you play the half side to your best player. Now, if you're going to play the quarter side to T. Higgins, he can destroy corners. He's physical. He can do the jump balls. Obviously, the 50-50 balls, he's awesome at, and he's good after the catch. So, yeah, now it just opens up the whole field. Now you want to play cover two. That opens it up for Gesicki and your running back out of the backfield, obviously running the ball or check downs, and open the middle of the field for those guys. So they have ways to get after you. Most teams have one good corner and they can match them up with Jamar. Not many teams have two good corners, and I know that the Commanders unfortunately don't have probably one, let alone two, to match up with these guys. That's why they're going to have to play more zone.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. Noah Brown, I want to jump on him. What did you see from him last week? You know, not a ton of targets. I don't know how many receivers are going to get a ton of targets, but seemed pretty explosive, big and strong. Role maybe this week going forward. What do you see?
Yeah, I mean, I like big physical guys like that. You see what the receivers for San Fran Jennings did yesterday with his opportunities going up with Debo out. He's a very similar type guy. A guy very beneficial in a running game that can block, and then when he gets opportunities catching the ball, he makes big plays. And those guys are great targets for a young quarterback, and just try to get him on curl routes and in routes and slant routes. Those are big targets, big hands, and he can make good runs after the catch, and it's a great option to have. You know, let Terry take the top off. Now you got a big target running a high cross. So, yeah, I like the fact that he's starting to step into that role as a number two receiver. I thought De'Ami Brown might do that, but or Luke McCaffrey. But, you know, who cares who does it? Just have somebody come in and make some plays.
Jay, when you were coaching, whether it was as a coordinator or as a head coach, do you remember guys actually getting wide-eyed for Monday Night Football at this level or trying to do too much? Or is the Monday Night thing something more fun for us that players don't really care that much about?
Yeah, I've seen coaches get wide-eyed, too. You know, it's a little nerve-wracking. You know, sometimes they get a little nervous.
Were any of those coaches named Jay?
Yeah, maybe. Try to show their ass a little bit with their creativity and the cool plays that they draw up for you so they get their name on TV, you know, those geniuses, you know, so they got to be careful of that. But not really. I think sometimes when the lights do cut on, some guys do get nervous and you see you miss a block or whatever it might be. They try to do too much too early. That's usually the big thing. They try to do things that they're not really capable of doing. But for the most part, these guys are all pros. They played a high level in college football. They were draft picks. They played some NFL football, and this is their time to really show what they can do. Monday Night Football is a great time to play for these guys, and they should be all excited.
Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny. We never really get to talk to you hours before a game, so this is something that I think is interesting for people. What is the lay of the land right now? Like, we see players coming on and off the field, doing their routine, you know, walking around with their headphones on. What's the actual last few hours before the game, like, schedule? And then also, as a coach, do you address the team with a speech before every single game? Obviously, it's not some, like, any given Sunday speech every time. But, like, are you always giving some type of pep talk, or is it done kind of more by position group? Like, how does that work?
Typically, the main talk is the night before the game. Monday nights are a little bit different because typically you have a walkthrough around 11 o'clock, and then they'll have a lunch, and then you have pregame meal, you know, 3 or 4 hours before the game. Then they get there, and they all warm up, and then right before, they warm up, team warm up, they come in and get ready to go, and then I talk to them for about 5 minutes, or not even 5 minutes, about a minute, maybe, tops, just to a few reminders, few things that we worked on throughout the course of the week, some slogan points that we really want to focus on through the week, whether it's ball security, whatever, penalties, lack of penalties, start fast, you know, things of that nature, things that we worked on throughout the week, and just remind them and have some fun and go kick some ass.
So at this point, right, for the players, they've been waiting around all day. That's what's so different for these night games, right, Monday night, Sunday night games. And it throws off your routine to a degree. Is that something that we overrate as pudgy zilchers on this side, or is that something that actually you guys have to learn how to deal with in terms of the players part of this thing?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, you sit around a hotel all day long. That's why you try to get them up and moving for a little walkthrough and a little meeting for like 45 minutes or an hour. Maybe you walk through the first 15 plays again offensively and defensively, make some calls for empty or some empty automatics, or maybe you're having coverage plays. If it's 3-by-1, we're running this coverage. 2-by-2, we're running this, and have the Mike linebacker communicate it. Maybe you walk through a 2-minute drill just to get them up and moving. Then they go back down and rest for a little bit and obviously get to the trainer. Maybe some guys need some more treatment. It's a good time to get extra treatment. Then they go to the stadium and they're ready to go.
Jay, we appreciate you as always. Great insight into tonight's matchup. Thank you, and we will chat again next week.
All right. Good luck, Commanders. I'll talk to you guys later.
Appreciate you, buddy. On Aaron on the Road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Ted Britt Automotive Group, Ted Britt Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Ted Britt Chantilly Lincoln, and Ted Britt Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Ted Britt for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at TedBritt.com.
Next on Grant and Danny, what are you expecting from Jaden Daniels tonight? What do you think he'll do in Monday Night Football game, primetime game, number one in his young three-week-old career? We'll open up the phones, MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, 800-636-1067 on that right now. What are you expecting from Daniels against the Bengals? 800-636-1067 is the number on G&D.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.